Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be back with family. We just got into town last night, and it's an honor to stand before you. As first thing I need to do is pray. Heavenly Father, you are awesome. You are everything. You are the great I am. Father, without you, we can do nothing. Father, at this time, I want to pray with my brothers and sisters for this time to be special. Father, you'll give me courage. You'll give me strength. Father, everything I speak will be the truth. And everything that I say will bring glory to you, Father, because that's what we want to do. We want to glorify you and acknowledge all the love that you've given to us, and to thank you for that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry about that, man. That thing. I don't like that. So, this time of year, being Christmas Eve, I think Luke chapter 2 is probably being read in churches everywhere today. And I would like to read Luke chapter 2 with y'all this morning. We started off with Brother Derek read Genesis chapter 3 verses 15, where God told Adam and Eve and the serpent what was going to happen, what he was going to do because of their disobedience, and he told the serpent that his head was going to be crushed. Some verses, some Bibles say bruised. I like crushed. I like that better for Satan. Yeah. But when God says something, it's going to happen. He spoke everything into existence. When he speaks, it happens. And he spoke a lot about Jesus through the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 18, he told Abraham through his seed that all nations would be blessed. You know, he would be a descendant of Abraham. He'd be a descendant of David. It was going to be through a virgin birth. And we were going to call him Emmanuel, which meant God with us. In Micah, he talked about where he was going to be born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And in Isaiah chapter 9, excuse me, I've got to get my glasses out. I'm getting old. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Hope is coming. Something we've been waiting for, they've been waiting for. In verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne, and over his kingdom establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And there it is, where he's going to sit on David's throne. And for thousands of years, 4,000? I don't know how many years. The people waited for this. And generation after generation were told, and the prophets told of this. This long-awaited time. And here it is. In John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, your father rejoiced at the thought of seeing this day. Abraham rejoiced at just the thought of seeing this day. The woman at the well, She said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And she was a Samaritan. Everybody was waiting for this time for Jesus to come. In Luke, when Mary visited Elizabeth, and she spoke to Elizabeth, and they greeted one another, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. I love that. He leaped. How excited was John the Baptist to announce Jesus Christ, the Messiah is here. Everybody is excited. Amen. And everybody is waiting. And everybody believes that he's coming. Maybe not everybody, but the people that did believe were filled with excitement and longing for the Messiah, the Savior, to come. Because God said that he would. So in Luke chapter 2, and that's, if y'all will turn with me to Luke chapter 2, the story of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census would be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own hometown to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house of the line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Finally, our hope had come and had made it. And he was lying in a manger. God told shepherds that lived out in the wilderness and Jesus was lying in a manger. Now, if we came up with a story, it would be nothing like that. That's how God works. He said all of these things, and they all came. If you continue reading in chapter 2, when the time it came for purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, praising God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." Wow. He held baby Jesus. God promised that he'd see him, and he saw salvation, had Jesus Christ in his hands. Jesus in a body, in the flesh, just like me and you. He was born just like me and you. And he was a baby, and I love babies. Jerry, you love babies. They're cute, aren't they? They are so cute. And Sarah's getting ready to have a cute little baby. The thing about babies is they don't stay babies. They grow up. See, Jesus had a life just like you and I. And you might look at me and say, "No, my life is not like Jesus." Your life is like no one else's. Everybody's path is different. Everybody has their own path to walk with the Lord. Even Jerry and Peggy, congratulations, 58 years walking together. Miss Peggy still got her own path to walk. And so does Mr. Jerry. No life is the same. God has a plan for each one of us. And Jesus had a life. He had a life in the flesh. And that's important for us to acknowledge. Very important for us to acknowledge that he was just like you and I. We've been talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus had the good, the bad, and the ugly. He had some real ugly. He had ugly we'll never see. But he had good, and he had bad, and he had ugly. I just want to see if you can relate to some of these things. If you talk about the good of Jesus. You know, he had a family. He was brought up in a godly family. Look at Joseph. Was his heart for the Lord? Yes, absolutely. His mother? Was there a better mother ever? I don't know. I don't think so. She was the top. But he had a family. A God-fearing family. He had a father. I believe his father was a really good carpenter. A really good carpenter. The thing about good tradesmen is their integrity. They don't try to brush things over, paint over things. They do things right. You might have to do it two or three times, but at the end of the day, you do the job right. And he was putting the name of his son on his work. Everything he did. And he had friends. Jesus had friends. He had relationships. You think about the relationships he had. He had Peter, James, and John, the disciples that he took where he took no other disciples. They were his close friends. You've got Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Lazarus, you know, at his death, he cried. Raised him from the dead. But these were real relationships like you and I. And he had disciples. He had followers. He had people listening to him. He was teaching. That was good, right? He wanted that.
Amen.
And they would follow him out into the wilderness. He was worried about them, you know, getting something to eat. Do you have friends? You got good friends? Mother and a father? Relationships in your life? Close relationships? These are good things. Now, some of the bad things about Jesus, about his life. Sorry. You think about his mother. Now, this is a good mother, and she does what mothers do. And when he kind of wandered off, or he stayed back when he was 12 years old, and the caravan took off without him, and they had to backtrack it and go get him, they were upset. And they fussed at him. That might not be too bad. That's just life. And she was kind of pushy when they ran out of wine at the wedding. You know, she kind of, come on, let's, son, take care of this. He said, Mom, it's not time yet. He did it anyways, children. Didn't want to. He did it anyways. How about when they knocked on the door? He was preaching at the house, and his mother was worried about him, and her and his brothers came to get Jesus. And they told him, your mother and brothers are at the door. And he said, you are my mother and brother and sisters. She followed him around. His father, after we hear about him staying in the temple when he was 12, we don't hear anything about Joseph. Did he die? I don't know. Something happened to him. He lost his father. His brothers thought he was crazy. They didn't believe in him. That hurt. His hometown rejected him. They wanted to kill him. His hometown. He didn't have a home. When he was baptized and he started on his missionary journey, he didn't have a place to lay his head. Didn't mean people didn't take him in and give him hospitality, but many disciples left when he preached in John chapter 6 about the bread of life. They left him. The 12 argued about who was going to be the best in the kingdom, who was going to be at his right hand side. Judas sold him out, and then Peter, one of his dearest friends, we would say stabbed him in the back, denied him. Can you relate to any of these things? Have you ever been betrayed? You ever been sold out? You ever been around a whole bunch of greedy people? You ever been homeless? When you came to Christ, did anybody disown you? Maybe you've lost your father or mother, lost somebody special to you. He felt everything that we would have felt and have felt. All of the pain, all of the frustration. He got tired. You know what else I didn't mention? And you don't see it if you watch a movie, you don't see it too often. But you know what? Jesus laughed. Jesus cut up. Jesus had a good time. He wasn't just this, I don't believe he was just this serious. He had friends, he had relationships. Even the most serious person has got to cut up every once in a while. He laughed. I know he did. He felt every emotion that we've ever felt. And then the ugly. In Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus said, "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Everything. Everything that God said would happen, Jesus did it. Just the way God had said it was going to happen. And I believe, I tried to look this up, and you, what can you believe on the internet? 300, 350, how many prophecies in the Old Testament? All of them were fulfilled. Every single one of them were promised, and Jesus Christ delivered on every single one of them. Back to Luke. Back to Luke chapter 2. Simeon had just spoken. And the child's father and mother, in verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. They marveled. But then if you continue, Simeon says something else. He says, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.'" And this is where it gets real ugly. John, when he announces Jesus in chapter 1 of John, John the Baptist says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He did not say, "Here is the King." John said, "The Lamb of God." And what is a lamb for? Except for sacrifice. This is what I don't think we can relate to. Jesus, the way that Jesus was shouted at. The way that they spit on him. The way that they beat him. Whipped him. Nailed him to a cross. And just hung him in shame like something worthless. You wouldn't do that to a dog. You wouldn't do that to anything. And just hung him up there for everybody to see. In shame. You know, through the good, he loved his family. He loved his friends. He loved his disciples. Through the bad, he loved. He loved. And even through the ugly, this ugly, terrible thing that was done to him, he loved all the way through. On the cross, what did he say? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." We can't understand that. We believe it. And we say, that is awesome. How does he love like that? But we don't understand. God promised and Jesus delivered everything that God promised. Jesus delivered. We can relate to the good stuff in Jesus' life. We can relate to the bad stuff. We can't relate to his crucifixion. But the important thing that we need to understand and what is told to us in the gospel is that Jesus can relate to us. He knows what we're going through because he's been through everything. He's felt every emotion that we have ever felt. He has felt betrayed. He's felt all the pain. The sorrow, the loneliness when he was the only one. The only one. They left him in the garden alone. But it doesn't stop there. When they buried him, he did rise. He crushed Satan's head. He rose. He defeated death. Took that fear away from us. Brothers and sisters, where would we be without the hope that we have in our hearts, that we truly believe that when we die, we're going to be with the Lord? Where would we be? Where was I? How did I not think about that? Maybe I did. But now I look forward to. He walked through this life. He walked through it. He walked through it all the way to heaven, where he's waiting for us. Jesus Christ has made promises to us. He's always going to love us. He's in us and will never leave. We ask for what we need and we're going to receive it. Nobody can take us away from him. Nobody. Nothing can take us from Jesus. His blood takes away our sins. Amen?
Amen.
His blood takes away all of our sins, all the wrong that we've done in our life, takes it away. It's important for us to understand about him being in the flesh. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to love through the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's what we need to try to do. To follow him. So this is the Christmas story. His birth was amazing. Everybody waited for it. And the way it happened was just the heavenly host praising God. I don't know what that looked like, but it must have been amazing to these shepherds. And who do you have to be to accept Jesus Christ? These were shepherds in a field. God does not care about these material things. He cares about every single one of us and wants us to be with him. He died for that. Now he's in us. Jesus Christ is in us. He's in me. It was Emmanuel. He was with us. Now he's in us. Giving us the strength to do this. Picking us up when we fail. That's what I wanted to share this morning. That's what God put on my heart. And he is an awesome God. And I don't understand his love, but I want to be able to walk through this life like he did. I won't, but I want to. And take everything that this life has to tear off my flesh. You can't take my spirit. You can't take my Lord away from me. This flesh means nothing. Life is good. Eternal life is better. So, I believe what I've said today is the gospel. That's it. That is Jesus Christ. So I don't know if there's somebody here that has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But we can change that. He wants you. He wants you so bad he died. He went through all that ugly just so he could have you. And he's waiting for you. We're not alone. We're together. And I thank the Lord for you. We need each other. We are sheep. Sheep are very vulnerable. People think they don't need to, you know, come to church. You need a church family. You need support. And we also offer that too. So we've got a song. Brother Ray's going to sing. And anybody that needs to come forward and needs prayers, we ask, we receive anything that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.